From the heart of Montana, this is Big Sky Small World, Carroll College's student podcast. Big Sky Small World, I can unhide Montana.
All aboard, choo-choo. Today we got quite a story to tell you all listeners, a Big Sky Small World. This is a train station workshop, where as a newly hired conductor, I will be guiding a non-stop run through the numerous topics my mind seems to think is so important to fixate on. Today we got our second passenger, who will introduce themselves momentarily. But first, let me admire this man as if he was a newly discovered sculpture from ancient Greece. A sculpture that surpasses the magnificence of David, created by Michelangelo. No, not the turtle. And has the wisdom of Oppenheimer. Hashtag foreshadowing. Unlike John Cena, where humanity is like, you can't see him. This man has the ability to see what is hidden. More specifically, he has the intuition to behold the strings of dimensions, how they propagate through space and time, interacting with each other. Before we get too sidetracked, let me bring this conversation back down to the physical plane and begin to unravel the curtains of this mysterious man. The beauty of his body is uncontested. The ability for his mind to absorb knowledge is equivalent to a quasar, the scientific name for a supermassive black hole. Renowned to be the scholastic Thanos, he collects degrees as if they were infinity stones to be added to the infinity gauntlet. So the question isn't, can this man see with his eyes that no other human can see, but can he hear it? Can you hear the music, Alejandro Inguirinos?
Hello?
Well, are you going to answer the question, bro? Can you hear the music?
Oh, yeah. I like that song.
Did you see what I was trying to do there? Did you get the reference?
Oh, I got the reference. I'm currently listening to that song.
Oppenheimer, baby.
Oppenheimer.
How are you doing today, my distinguished colleague? Was my introduction adequate enough?
Oh, it was amazing. I liked the part about my noble body.
Did I miss anything? Should I add more in the...
No, I mean, if you want to keep going, you can keep going.
Well, I thought, you know, hashtag foreshadowing, John Cena, Oppenheimer.
That was good. I think you should edit in John Cena's voice.
Michelangelo, the turtle from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, that one was good.
Yeah, you know.
You have earned yourself another listener.
Just one.
That's me. No, I'm going to make the entire physics club here listen to you.
Oh, I thought you were going to make your entire family across the states of America and Spain listen to this.
Not too. And all of my 12 burner accounts.
Yeah, I'll get you to be the interpreter and you can just speak over in Spanish in different voices to be you and me. And then you can play it to your grandfather.
That'd be awesome. I don't even want to interpret. I just want to have them sit there and listen to something they don't get. And they go, "Whoa!"
For all you to know, his family is Spanish from Spain. Although he likes to say he's from Puerto Rico. He has a Puerto Rican flag in his room, but that's a fraud. He's really Irish.
Aye, that it is, my boy. I'm a kind of Puerto Rican, a little.
I mean, say it in your Irish dad accent. Grew up there, but he my was dad born grew in up Spain. There. So
yeah. So, you know, there you have it. I suppose.
This is A quality really... commentary here.
Yeah.
All right. So
commentary on modern day race and culture. Anyways, continue.
From the Irishman, the Spanish Irishman. So I did mention there that you are like the scholar version of Thanos. And the reason I say that is because you have a bunch of degrees. And tell me about that.
I'm going to stop the Irish accent now. It's kind of hard to get out of though. I spent 2 years at community college doing absolutely nothing. And then, except for basketball. And then with McLean, actually. Yeah, with your lovely choo-choo host. The host of the choo-choo train through his...
No, it's the train station.
The train station in his mind, who we're inside of right now. It's kind of like Magic School Bus. We spent two years together at community college, and we didn't do anything. We went to PE class together. That was kind of fun. And we just messed around the whole time. We didn't actually do anything.
Well, I mean, we got swole.
We got swole. Yeah, we were kind of huge. And we continued that path.
I mean, let's if we're really going to start at community college, let's go back.
Yeah,
to
we're
going to
start all the way back at the beginning.
No. Let's go
when
back.
When we were born in the same bed, the same hospital bed.
No. Let's start at community college. We can go back further if you want, but you told me to go to Edmonds, and you said, McLean, come to Edmonds with me. We'll take these classes together. We'll have a great time.
I don't remember saying any of that.
I go to Edmonds. We take one class together, and then you leave. Mm-hmm. You decide
you're
done.
That was a great class, though. That was a good class.
Yeah, I got you really strong and swollen.
And I kept it. Man, if the listeners can't see right now, but my bicep is as big as my head.
You think John Cena can't see him?
Yeah.
Dude, the mojo is gone. This sucks.
This is awesome.
Should I just keep this in about us trashing it?
Yeah.
All right. Let's get back on track.
This. You need to keep us saying, should I keep this? And then we're going to keep it. but I have.
Community college.
So after community college, yeah. I went to SU mm-hmm. because my mom works at SU, which is Seattle University. Mm-hmm. And my mom works here in the legal writing department. But if you have a family member that's faculty somewhere, you get free tuition. It's kind of like being a legacy student, but not really.
Knowingly admitting fraud on a televised podcast right
yeah.
now.
You're and you know what else I'll do? I'll take advantage of the system in another way. I'm staying here for as long as I can because I get free school out of it. They keep paying for the school. I don't take theology classes because they require theology classes to graduate. The way that this scholarship works is as follows. Once I have a degree program that I've finished, I have to graduate. They make me graduate or else I don't get my scholarship anymore. But to complete a degree program at Seattle U, by the way, I'm at Seattle U right now. to complete a degree program at Seattle U, you have to take a theology class. And so I'm just not taking theology classes and I'm going for like 4 degrees. So I'm going for a physics degree, a computer science degree, a computer engineering degree, and a mechanical engineering degree that I'm probably going to change to math. But I can complete all of the coursework for that on scholarship, like full scholarship, as long as I don't take a theology class. They can't make me graduate.
I mean, as someone as smart as you, I would expect nothing less. And yeah, kind of the way you're pursuing your education, I want to pursue my law pathway. The philosophy you have going right now is Saul Goodman. You're kind of being a Saul Goodman right now. And
yeah.
If I become a Saul Goodman lawyer,
goddamn right,
then I can protect the Saul Goodman education fraud. And together, we can get more education.
Together, we can fraud all the way our way to the top.
Your poor mother, man. She is working her butt off teaching law students, and you are just on that piggyback. You're right
and
there.
She wants to, I think she wants to retire. I'm pretty sure she wants to retire, but she can't like graduate.
Well, no, wait until Amaya graduates. So you got another 3 years.
But Amaya's going to graduate before me. Amaya's my younger sister. Let's explain the lore to people. The lore of I have a sister. My sister
wait,
is.
What do years. You mean you have a sister?
Yeah. Listen up, listeners. This is crazy. I was about to swear. This is crazy. I have a sister. And, okay, this is also crazy. I have a sister. She's 3 years younger than me. That took longer than it should have, which means she's 19 right now. Yeah, no, and she's like doing internships with people. And like the only thing I've done during the summer is eat taquitos.
And hang out with me at my cabin. Yeah, your sister's actually doing the right thing here.
Yeah.
We are not.
I thought she was 20 for a while. I did because I thought I was 23. I forgot that I was 22 for like a couple months.
You know, you're really not painting a good picture of yourself right now. I mean,
I'm a highly educated individual.
Yeah, I hype you up as this highly
educated man. I'm edumacated. I have a high level of education. I forgot what we were saying. Just got derailed fast.
dude, I'm gonna have to come back. I don't want to be here. Why are you? Why are you making me spend more time at this school than I have to?
I'm not making you look.
See, there's a very big difference between me and AJ. We are the same age. We are the same height. The big difference
the same
is
mental.
He likes being at his campus. I mean, he's there all the time for no reason. Me, I want to be home.
Yeah. But,
oh, we also live in each other in our parents' basements.
So. Yeah, we both live at home in our parents' basements. We're basically the same.
Our parents all work full time.
Yeah, to support us. We come to school, we do class. And then when you go home, you just go home. When I'm at school, it's not like I hang out with anyone at school. I'm at school.
So you're like me.
Yeah, I just...
Except for you have more friends. Dude, we're 15 minutes in. None of this is usable.
This is all usable. What were we talking about?
All right. So you're... All right. I am so sorry, listeners. If you hear this, just know that I have no self-respect for my quality of work. That's a lie.
If,
I kid you not. I typed.
Just know that I hate myself.
Just so you know, I typed over 5 pages worth of script of questions, commentary, speeches that I'm going to talk about in the next 2 hours, and we're not even halfway through the first page.
Do you want to just read the entire page right now and then he can talk about it?
Okay. So we were talking about how you were being fraudulent with the educational system Seattle University. Your name is Alejandro Guidonos. You live in Seattle, Washington. Your mother is a professor at Seattle University for law. And you're about 6'4". I'm taller than him. And about 130 pounds. You need to get some muscle back on you. Mm-hmm. So
my social security number is 12.
My social security number is the same value as my IQ.
Yeah. It's the same value as a lot of things.
Just so the viewers are aware of what I'm seeing on the Zoom call right now, behind Alejandro is about 3 bags of goldfish.
And trail mix.
And trail mix.
Don't eat that goldfish, though. I think it's radioactive. And that's not a joke.
Like, I could turn into Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, you could turn into Hulk.
Oh, yeah, brother.
Yeah, when you eat the goldfish, it makes you go, oh, yeah.
Brother.
Upon hitting your scalp.
Brother, this is Hulk mania. That's for my dad back that? Home.
For all the dads out there. Brother.
Yo, this is for Enrique and Guidonos. Shout out to you. See, by naming people we know, they automatically have to listen to the podcast so they can get that gratification of being famous to 5 viewers.
We should go through the whole 2 hours and then name a lot of people right at the end.
We should go through the whole 2 hours, not talking about anything I scripted.
Anything at all.
And then we'll just do the same meeting next week. Okay, so you're frauding the system. What's next?
Yeah.
What's your life?
No way. In my life, I'm frauding the system. What's next in general for me? I'd like to get a job eventually.
Okay, slow your horses.
Okay, I don't get a job.
Yeah, come on, let's get on the same plane.
Yeah, this guy right here doesn't have a job. Have you seen him? You've been listening to me for what, half an hour? You think I have a job?
So let's be honest here. I got at least 3 more years of school. Can you extend the education for 3 more years?
Easily.
All right.
As long as my mom doesn't burn out. I'm so sorry, Mom. Is the plan for us to graduate at the same time? Is that what
I have a judicial degree.
Okay,
oh my
yeah.
God, what if I go to SU and your mom becomes my teacher? And then I live with you in the basement of your parents' house.
Dude, and we can set up a little tent.
And then,
I'm
going to
accidentally get rid of that mattress.
Meeting about the ethical implications of a student of one of the teachers living in their house and if that's fair to the rest of the students.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about the ethical implications of us.
Okay. You shouldn't be saying that.
I'm just going to let that hang in the air. What's next on the docket? We got to get going, man.
We're 19 minutes in. Oh my God, really? Dude. All right. Well, you know what? Whatever. Just so everyone knows, today I got my car stuck in 6 feet of snow because the roads are icy because I guess I don't know how to drive anymore. And so I had to call my uncle. That's fun. That's not something like, hey, uncle, I just saw you like 2 seconds ago. Can you dig me out? Because I'm stuck in front of your driveway. That's embarrassing. Not only that.
I didn't get very far.
You know, I really didn't. And I never take this road. Just today I decided to take this road. Not only that, but there was a work crew for a telephone pole at the very end of the hill They saw me stuck. They hop into their excavator, like you see in Gold Rush, and they drive up the hill. And then it's like 20 minutes of them digging out of the snow and then towing my car out of the ditch into the road. So that's just really fun. And guess what? I'm wearing shorts, a Carhartt jacket, and some Ray-Bans or whatever those are called.
Oh, you were posted up.
Yeah. And then I'm
could have just like lift the car out.
Yeah, they're like, who is this crazy wacko? Anyways, let's get to point number two.
Let's get to point number two.
Dude, this
number
sucks.
B. This now, is great.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong here, but your pursuit of theoretical physics has let you travel across America.
Correct.
Could you momentarily explain this speciality of yours?
Correct. I'm sorry. So, yeah, so of my four degrees, physics is the one that I like the most and also the one that I'm furthest along in. And so because of that, during the summer, a lot of physics majors do research during the summer. You either do RU programs or you do research. An RU program is a research experience for undergraduates, and it's like you apply to them all across the country, and they're like in Texas or in DC or things like that. Or you can do research with the faculty at your school. And so what I've done is I did research with two of the different faculty members at my school, one emeritus professor that is just here to do research, and then one professor who has left us since I've been here, but they were the head of the department, and I did research with them. And so with those two different projects, I got to go to Sacramento to present at an APS conference, which is American Physical Society. And I got to go to Boston to present at a DNP conference, which is Division of Nuclear Physics.
Now, just so the listeners at home understand, what is theoretical physics? Let me just get a quick explanation here.
It's mostly math. It's mostly reading papers and doing math. There are a lot of like open problems in physics. For example, in nuclear physics, no one knows why the proton has the magnetic field that it does. There are a lot of ideas about what could make the magnetic field inside a proton, for example. And those ideas need to be tested experimentally. But before you can do that, you need to know what results you're going to get. And so theoretical physics is predicting what results you're going to get based on different ideas. So you come up with ideas for how you think things work or better ways to measure things. And then you do some math to figure out what results you're going to get. And theoretical physics is either coming up with the ideas or doing the math. It's almost always doing the math, but sometimes you come up with the ideas, sometimes you don't. You just have ideas that other people have come up with and you improve them, and then you do some more math to see what results you get. But it's almost always having an idea, doing math to see what results you can get so that people can test them.
Very well put. And correct me if I'm wrong here, but Oppenheimer, the movie that we saw together here, was that kind of theoretical physics in a sense? Because they had no idea that a nuclear bomb could be achieved by splitting.
Yeah, it was totally theoretical. So what's cool is Oppenheimer was a little bit of both. Oppenheimer was, they didn't know how to make sustained nuclear reactions. So part of their theoretical stuff was, and it's kind of a mix, actually, it's kind of both. But so they brought a bunch of people together to build something. So that's really experimental physics. But you need theorists because they can, and experimentalists too, all of them can come up with ideas for how to make things work. These theorists have been presumably working their entire careers on nuclear physics. And it just so happened now that one of them came up with an idea for sustained nuclear reaction, which is something like an atom breaks apart, shoots off a particle, and then that hits another particle, which breaks it apart. And then it shoots off a couple more particles, which hit more particles and break them apart. And then you just get bigger and bigger breakings apart of things. So someone had came up with that kind of idea, and they were like, oh, this could be a bomb. And someone was like, oh, it could be a bomb. So then after they had that idea, you bring in a bunch of theoretical and experimental physicists, see if they can improve it in any way. So it's just a big, huge brainstorming session for people coming up with ideas to see if they can improve it, and then doing some math to see if they can figure it out. And the reason it had to be in Los Alamos is because they wanted to test it. And so they needed a place that they could actually explode things. And it's pretty cool. Oppenheimer himself was a theorist. He was really, really bad experimentally, which is just like a fun little thing. So his main his main role there was to look at the theory, to come up with ideas for how to create new nuclear reactions, and to kind of guide people. He was in more of like a guiding role.
Okay, there you have it, folks. I remember when we saw that movie, we decided not to sit in the back, not to sit in the middle, but sit in the front row seats.
That's right. I forgot that we saw the movie.
And then we saw it, and then when the nuclear bomb went off, I just looked at you, and we're just right there at the screen. You had your ears covered.
Yeah, my face started flapping.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, I had my ears covered. I think one of our friends had gotten free popcorn by taking a large popcorn bucket out of the trash and refilling it.
Well, you know, why don't we just name him Kaya? We spoke about him last podcast. We're going to speak about him again in this podcast. Okay. Kaya is like Alejandro in the sense of he knows the ways of the fraud. But in this way, his fraud is focused solely on taking the XL popcorn buckets that are refillable from the trash can and dumping the popcorn in it so that he can get a refill for himself.
For free. It saves him like maybe five bucks.
I did see him try it with an XL drink before, but I think that was more for the group than for himself.
Yeah. That was a group project. All right. I saw him try it with a hot dog. He took a hot dog bun out of the garbage and went back to the person and said, "You forgot to put the hot dog in."
Oh, this is so bad. So let's talk about that Sacramento trip, which was your first experience. Give me the rundown here. What was your kind of how to go at the convention in this new city all by yourself?
It was cool. So the Sacramento trip was for the APS April conference, which is American Physical Society's April meeting, which is one of the bigger meetings. So they can invite more people. And they have a whole undergraduate section. And it's really fun. It's paid for by the school, so I didn't have to pay for anything. They paid for me and my lab partner to go out, an experimental lab partner. So what we really did is we sent each other code. They paid for us to go out, so we flew out together, and then they paid for us to stay in a hotel that was across the street from a big conference building. We had one single thing that we mandatorily had to attend, which was my oral presentation. I gave an oral presentation to a group of really whoever wanted to be there, but it's mostly undergraduates and the professors and the other undergraduate groups that were there.
I was going to say it's like a feasting field for the Ravens. The professors are there. They're going to pick up the best student and recruit them to go to their college.
Yeah. Actually, I talked to this guy from Princeton. Like all of these people are just kind of walking around being like, you, they're like vultures. They come out and they snatch you.
Yeah, the half-decayed human student.
Yeah.
Who's just dead inside.
He said, you could feel me.
You gave this speech. Tell me about it.
Yeah. Dude, it was packed. Standing room only. Somebody started a fire in the middle and we didn't even leave because there was no oxygen left to keep it going.
Wait, really?
Yeah. No, it was kind of fun. I think there was like 10 or 15 tables in the room and each table could seat 10 people. So there was enough room for like 130-ish people, and there were maybe 40 people in the room.
Not bad. Not considering bad. What, were you a sophomore at this point?
I think I was a sophomore, yeah.
I mean, you basically put SU on the map. You're the foundational stone of that
basically
institution. Was Sacramento where you met Carroll College students, or?
Oh, no. Okay, so this was a different conference, so Sacramento was, yes. Wow. I also met Carroll College students. I've met Carroll College students everywhere. Basically, Carroll College students get around. Carroll College is the pride of Helena, Montana.
Yeah.
And every time strong. I met them, 30,000 strong, 30,000 bright young minds.
Anyways, continue. Carroll College students get around.
Including the faculty. I'm kidding. Yeah, so it was just kind of fun. You meet students from a bunch of different colleges. So I met a lot of students at the APS April meeting. There was another conference in Vancouver, Washington, where I met a bunch of students and also Carroll College students there. And that conference is called Murdoch, which is just a general science conference.
Now, did you beef with these students? Did you, you know, show them your territory? Like, hey, this is SU. We don't mess around here. So you walked up, you said hi to them. Did you say, do you know McLean?
Yeah, I was like, do you guys know McLean Holland? He's the conductor of the train.
Hey, did you know McLean Holland, the Knuff guy? Say that.
Knuff guy. Yeah, actually, for anybody listening to this is run by the Knuff guy.
Funny story there. My mother, there we go. I shout out the whole family now. First, my dad.
Shout out Les, also known as Lestifer.
That's staying in.
Yeah. I want to say Lestifer is a great name.
My mom was working, and apparently there was a Carroll College student intern. Can you say the word for me?
Internee. Who was intermittently interning.
Anyway, she asked him, do you know McLean Holland? And she said, oh, the Knuff guy?
That's one of the best things that you could be known for, I think.
Given
it's supportive.
This was at the height of Barbie, and I might have been wearing my Knuff hoodie everywhere.
You were on the train before everyone was on the train.
Yeah, I'm a trendsetter.
Yeah.
I lay the tracks for the people to follow behind.
When Man's Not Hot came out, you knew it within the first week.
Yeah, you know me. I'm really into that UK scene.
Yeah. This is what the people came to see. Yeah, where were we?
We're just solely talking about Sacramento. And you should have said, yes, I met Carroll College students at Sacramento.
That would be lying. I'm held to a certain standard of integrity.
That standard of integrity?
Yeah, I hold myself to high standard, as you can tell. As I've made abundantly clear. No, but if you would like, I can say, yes, I've met several college students.
All right, you're at Sacramento. You have a capacity crowd of 50 out of 120.
Oh, 100, yeah.
So you're basically failing, but then again, you're a sophomore. Cool. You got Princeton professors coming up to you trying to recruit you and make you pay for tuition that you don't want to pay for.
Yeah, pretty much.
And you told them, sir, no thank you. I get it for free. My mom.
I told them, sir, so actually this was someone that my professor introduced me to. Yeah, I said, your mom, actually, Mr. Princeton. He was a dark matter researcher that I got introduced to. And I don't know, dark matter is cool, but experimental dark matter is just kind of boring.
Yeah,
nothing's happening.
It's nothing like the dark matter Apple TV show.
Yeah.
It's nothing like the dark matter Apple TV show that stars Joel Edgerton and Jennifer Connelly.
Out now.
No, it's been out for a while.
On Apple TV.
All right. Dude, oh my God. We're not even going to get it. Okay. So you're at this convention. Like a Weezer from SpongeBob.
Like Weezer. Hide it in the sun. That's going to be bleeped.
All right.
That's copyright protected.
But there was a firearm that did go off during your presentation. I do know that happened.
The big one struck during my presentation. And my old 80-year-old professor fell into the crack in the earth.
Okay, now you're just lying, bro.
And then Dwayne Johnson saved her.
What happened to the integrity?
Well, there wasn't a... Oh, yeah. Sorry. Okay. There was... No, my presentation was great. The only fire alarm that went off was because I was so good. Because it was so
wicka,
hot.
Wicka, wicka, brrr.
Yeah. But I didn't win an award.
You did?
No.
Oh. this sucks.
Someone else won an award. Another undergraduate that went after me won an award for a dark matter. This sucks. Yeah, man.
While you were on your trip to Sacramento, did you take any moments for yourself to enjoy the trip, or was it all professional?
It was half and half. So there were some cool conference meetings at the April conference. I like a lot of the astrophysics stuff that they were doing. They have these big sessions called plenary sessions, which are like the most important talks. And so you go to the plenary sessions, they're usually later in the day. But earlier in the day, it's a lot of like breakout sessions, like breakout rooms. And so if you don't have one that you're particularly interested, you can kind of just go around. So me and my lab partner would go and get lunch, or we would just kind of like walk around and see Sacramento. We walked down by the river for a while. That was pretty fun. We got to go see the boardwalk, which was cool. We got a lot of ice cream. We met this old lady at a fried chicken shop, and she was super nice to us. We bought her fried chicken. So it was kind of a mix of both. There's not a lot of free food at the conferences. You get daily allowance. So it's fun to just kind of walk around. Well, you can if you want. You're supposed to go to a lot of the different conference meetings, but not everyone does.
So basically, it's like being back home again. Your parents are giving you allowance, but this time instead of parents, it's your the faculty of SU, and you just get to walk around all the time, which you do anyways. So
yeah, scientists are basically little kids. We're like, we get some money. Whoa.
Like, what? I get $10 for my research grant? You don't know how far this is going to get me.
Guys, I could do so much. I could buy like 12 lollipops right now.
All right, AJ, I guess the only question that is remaining is what your research is about and if you would be willing to share with us today.
Yeah. So I have two main projects. So the Sacramento one, so this project is, it's called the multipole expansion of the inverse square law of gravity. What that actually means is we were exploring, well, the background for this is at really small distances, like quantum mechanics distances, we don't really know how gravity works. Gravity is like a big question right now in quantum mechanics. Gravity is ruled by general relativity, and the other three forces are ruled by quantum mechanics, and people have no idea how to mix them together, like at all. One of the big experimental questions, or one of the big questions in general right now, is how to mix them. And so there's experiments being run that are trying to tease out a little bit how gravity works on quantum mechanics scales. Part of how people are doing this is something called the torsion pendulum. So a normal pendulum swings back and forth like a grandfather clock, kind of. A torsion pendulum is mathematically exactly the same, except you look down on it from a bird's eye view. It's like if you took a pencil, you tied a string to the pencil, like right in the middle of the pencil, and then you hung the pencil from the string, and then it would wobble back and forth, like it would twist. And the way it twists wobbles back and forth exactly the same way that a pendulum wobbles back and forth. So mathematically it's the same, but you can get rid of downward gravity. You can get rid of the Earth's gravity because it's just twisting side to side. So it's really helpful for weak gravitational forces, which is what's close range quantum mechanics. And so the experiment being run is you take this torsion pendulum and you have these masses and you just kind of rotate them around the torsion pendulum, like these huge lead balls, and you rotate them around the torsion pendulum and you see how gravity moves the pendulum, like if it makes it wobble at all, and you can get really precise. So UW, University of Washington, has one like 30 feet underground that gets rid of all these vibrational things. It gets rid of like trucks passing by. They are sensitive enough that they can feel a truck passing by, right? They got the train moved, like the Seattle light rail. They got it moved because their experiment is that sensitive. They put it 30 feet underground and they have this really, really sensitive pendulum with like 150 masses that they can measure. But we don't have anything that sensitive at SU. So what we did is we did the math for it. Our entire project was basically, is there a way that we can analyze this torsion pendulum and look for deviations from what we would expect using Newtonian physics? Using just Newton's laws, we expect a certain way that this pendulum will twist as we rotate these outer masses. And what we did is we broke down the rotation into what we call different moments, but it's kind of like different mass distributions. It's different ways of looking at a system as a combination of things. As like, say, I have a ball here and a ball here. Well, I can look at that ball here and ball here as like a little bit of stuff here. Like if I'm really far away, it just looks like a blob. If I get closer, it looks like a ball here and a ball here. If I get even closer, it looks like some stuff in front of me, some stuff behind me, and a lot of stuff to the right and left. So you look at different scales of how you can look at stuff, and it breaks down really nicely into what we call a multipole expansion for math. So using that, we can analyze data collected from experiments and see if they deviate from what we would expect using Newtonian physics. And that is kind of the experiment, or that's what we produced for this conference, is this method of looking at torsion pendulums based on how many masses you rotate around them and error correction, basically. So if you're getting a deviation from Newtonian physics, is it actually a deviation, or do you just have a little bit of error in your system? Like maybe your torsion pendulum is off a little bit, and we can tell you how far it's off if it is off. And so it's error correction and also looking for deviations from Newtonian physics.
Wow.
So was there any big key takeaways that you got from this project?
It was cool. It was kind of my first step into doing advanced math. Like the multiple expansion is graduate level math. It was cool to be able to do that. And that was also really my first research project. So the big thing there, I think, was just the fact that I can actually do graduate level research. And I'm not a grad student. That was a fun way to kind of get into theoretical physics and just kind of like the idea that a lot of cutting edge theoretical physics is really based around, okay, these people want to run an experiment. Now, how can we come up with a way mathematically to test whether the experiment is right or not? Like that idea of thinking about theoretical physics as it relates to experimental physics was kind of a big part of this project.
So essentially it was firstly getting your foot in the door and becoming comfortable with what could happen in your future, like what you're required to do.
Yeah.
And secondly, it kind of gives you an insight of the purpose of your research and your goal as a theoretical physicist is to tell the rest of the world, hey, this is or is not possible based upon this math that we have done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if it is possible, this is what we expect.
Yeah, you expect it to go exactly how you want it to go. You tell them.
You better do it, yeah. If you don't do it, I'm going to wave my papers at you and you better get in shape.
If you don't do
I'll slap you on the ass and I won't give you an old Guinness.
If you don't
I'll take away your mashed potatoes.
Okay, that's a little bit too far. You don't mess with someone's potatoes.
I'm sorry. I won't touch your potatoes, but...
After this conversation we had today about your exhibition into Sacramento, I feel that you are on the verge of hearing the music. And I just wanted to say thank you for taking the time. And to all your listeners out there, this is the...
The Choo-Choo Train! I forgot what the name was.
Train.
The Train.
Station.
Big Sky Small World is sponsored by the Carroll College Communication Center. Helping the Carroll and Helena communities with presentations, multimedia, and podcasting since 2020. Find us in the library or email Director Alan Hansen at ahansen@carroll.edu.
Welcome back, everyone. This is our section called the Vibe Check. This is brought to you by Joseph
C. Holster
and Dominic Boitano. Today, we're just going to be kind of rambling around, going on thoughts, whatever comes to your head, speak it.
I know we're a little past due with the Super Bowl here, but we could talk about that. I mean, we can talk about Kendrick. We can talk about all the Drake stuff and... all of that. So what are your thoughts and opinions about that?
I thought the Super Bowl was pretty cool. I didn't watch all of the halftime show. I got a little preoccupied, you know, Super Bowl Sunday feels, but I thought it was pretty cool. I don't know. I liked it. I think it was kind of unnecessary to bring up the Drake beef in front of thousands of NFL fans.
It was bound to happen.
It was bound to happen.
You know, just for views. More views he gets for that, the more money he makes.
Exactly. I can't blame him. I can't blame him at all. But I think Kendrick Lamar is a fantastic artist. I think he's a generational talent that you only see once in a lifetime, really.
Yeah.
And his come-up story is pretty inspirational. I mean, he's coming from Compton, a very, very tough city to live in when you're younger.
Oh, yeah.
And his albums just kind of tell a story about his life. And how he became the man he is today, I guess, through all these adversities, all the struggles. And I don't know, it's pretty interesting. What's some of your favorite songs of his?
I don't know. I really like the older Kendrick. New Kendrick's not really for much for me. I guess that's for pretty much all artists for me. I like the older stuff. Swimming Pools, I guess, is the first one that comes to my mind. Grew around some people living their life in bottles. Granddaddy had the golden flask, backstroke every day in Chicago. Some people like the way it feels. Some people want to kill their sorrow. Some people want to fit in with the popular. That was my problem. I was in a dark room, loud tunes, looking to make a vow. This kind of the whole album of Good Kid, Mad City.
It is the best album he's ever put out. And I just actually recently watched a YouTube video on it, and it breaks down all his lyrics in his songs and like how it actually compiles into a storyline. And this storyline is him trying to go meet a girl and they end up going to a party and he gets super flustered and he's just wondering why he keeps doing these things. Like his life is just going in a circle of like repeating these bad actions basically. And throughout the album, you kind of see him figure out like, I need to stop this. I need to kind of grow up in a sense and figure my life out. I can't keep doing this every day, every weekend. And I think there's a lot of people out there that could take that with like a fundamental, like deep meaning in their own life. Mm-hmm. And they could kind of adapt that into their own life. And, you know, a lot of people nowadays, me too, honestly, like you find yourself in this process of you're going back and doing the same things and you already know the outcome before you do it.
Yeah. I mean, especially, yeah, I think a lot of things nowadays is just people get caught up in their own actions. They keep repeating the cycle and they do get to a point where they're like, oh, I should stop. Mm-hmm. And then they get caught up in it again.
Exactly.
And then they continue. They keep the same cycle and then they stop. They do good and then they get caught. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that can relate to a lot of people nowadays.
Oh yeah. Good Kid, Mad City in my head, his best album ever.
Yes.
And I think my favorite song is featuring Drake. A little Poetic Justice, maybe?
Poetic Justice. If I told you that a flower bloomed in a dark room, would you trust it? I mean, I write poems in these songs dedicated to you when you're in the mood for empathy. It's blood in my pen. Better yet, with your friends and them, I really want to know you all. I really want to show you off. Done, pour up plenty of champagne. Cold nights when you curse this name. You called up your girlfriends and y'all curled in that little bitty range.
I think Poetic Justice is a really good song. And especially since Drake, that was kind of when Drake was, what, starting to blow up, you think? What artist do you think that Kendrick kind of relates to?
I think he's his own beast. Like, he's his own category. I don't think there's really anyone exactly like him. I think he kind of resembles a little bit of Jay-Z. Yeah. And, like, a little bit of that older style. Like, super heavy into lyrics and, like, the meaning behind them. I mean, a lot of people nowadays, they're just mumble rapping. And it's like, I don't even know what you're saying.
Yeah,
you know?
I hate that mumble rap.
No, I don't like it.
What are you saying?
No.
Like, seriously.
I hate it. And I'm a big lyric guy, so I kind of find myself drifting towards those type of artists, for sure.
Jay-Z, Eminem, maybe even a little Tupac.
Maybe a little Tupac, maybe if we're getting Tupac crazy. I think so, too. Those were some generational talents. That's a good place to be.
Jay-Z, Kendrick, and Tupac, generational.
Generational talents, man. There's no one really like them. They all kind of resemble each other in a way, almost.
They all kind of got their little own flow to it. I don't really know the whole backstory behind Kendrick and Drake's. Do you?
I honestly don't fully understand it. I think in my head, and I might be going down a rabbit hole here, but I think it's for views, dude. I think all of this is really for views.
I could see that.
I mean, it's kind of a branding thing.
Yeah, I mean,
oh, they're beefing. I want to hear his latest song. I want to hear his latest diss track on Drake.
Say, Drake, I hear you like I'm young. You better not ever go to cell block one. To any that talk to him and they in love, just make sure you hide your little sister from him. Certified lover boys, certified pedophiles. Wop, 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 wop. That fuck him up. Wop, 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 wop. I'ma do my stuff. Why you trolling like a... Ain't you tired? Trying to strike a chord and it's probably A minor.
I want to hear Drake's newest diss track on Kendrick.
I know that you mad. I've emptied the clip over friendly or jabs. You mentioned my seed and I deal with his dad. I gotta go bad. I gotta go bad. Yeah, drop a 50 bag for the mob in a spot. Drop a 50 bag, 29 for the thought. I was really, really trying to keep it PG. I was really, really trying to keep it PG. If you had a set, they give you the DP. Civilian gang in real life, you PC, you know.
And it's just going back and forth and they're getting millions of views.
Oh, millions. And you know, like you said, it's a branding thing. More money, more money, more money. The more views you get.
Exactly.
More
the more people that you're reaching out to, even if it's like something like that, like a diss track, doesn't matter. You're still getting paid.
Seriously. Money, money, money. That's all it is about nowadays. And that's honestly kind of what new rappers or this generation of rappers are starting to do, and or not starting, but they are doing, like women, drugs, money. That's pretty much kind of it is. And like violence, like you can hear a lot of these songs include like guns, or like they're mimicking gun sounds, or just talk about guns. It's just kind of like, that's the thing nowadays. And I guess like another thing we can start talking about here is just like what the music is doing to this generation, because you got the diss tracks of one another,
right?
So then kids, young kids, are gonna be like, oh, that's my favorite artist, I'm gonna try to find a certain way to beef with someone else that they may not like, or
even a close friend.
Exactly.
They go up and like, well, my the most influential person in my life is this rapper. Mm-hmm. And he's doing this. I should emulate that. I should do that in my life. He's getting so successful.
The rappers that are talking about violence, they're like, oh, I gotta mimic my favorite rapper here. I'm gonna start doing this, and then you see it kind of daily. Some sort of violence is happening. Some sort of gun violence is just it's sad. It really is, and I think kind of relates. Yeah, there's some other environmental factors there, but I think some music can influence that as well.
Big influencing factor, yeah. I had one of my close friends growing up. You know, we're from a pretty small town, but that kind of lifestyle is everywhere now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's everywhere. And he didn't have the greatest childhood growing up, you know. And he was heavily into rap and hip-hop and those type, like, super, like, street rap, basically. Talking about guns, money, drugs, women. And over the course of probably 10 years, I could kind of see his like life change and like morph into that like kind of gangster lifestyle that he wanted to live at that point. I remember I saw him, last year, 2 years ago maybe, and he completely changed. He realized, he was talking to me. I saw him at a gas station. I pulled up. I was like, oh my God. My boy, what's going on, dude? He's like, I was just going fishing, dude. And he was talking to me about how his life has completely changed. And, you know, he was doing all these drugs. He was making a lot of money, but it was not making him happy.
Yeah.
And he was living that life, and he realized one day, and he's just like telling me how he just does not want to have that life anymore. He didn't want to do that. He thought that was the only thing to bring him to a successful life. And he had that realization, and I was so happy for him. So happy for him. I feel like that happens to a lot of people around the country, around the world, honestly. They start listening to that music and they could go down a deep hole that is very hard to dig out of.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, you hear it every day. I don't have any stories like that, so thanks for sharing. But you hear it every day. Oh, they're going to go do this. They're going to go do that. Oh, we did this. We did that. Or, like, they talk about violence, like shootings and stuff like that. Oh, yeah, we just shot up this dude, yada, 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 yada. It's just a sad world we live in, and I think a lot of music can relate to that. And it can start from little things. Like, this beef between Kendrick and Drake here can start little things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can have a... I guess like people who grow up in that kind of atmosphere, that environment of gangs and violence, they might have a favorite artist, Drake or Kendrick being one of those.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, these are starting beef. You got your buddy here who's a Drake fan. You got your other buddy who's a Kendrick fan. And then they can just start going at it over that. And then one thing leads to another. And then there's some violence there. And it's just, it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. That's
very unfortunate.
Just kind of how it is nowadays. Like, a lot of influence with things people might not even know, like these rappers might not even know that they have, they know they have influence on people, but they might not think like, oh, I have that much influence where they're gonna start like violence against one another. But I think that's just kind of how our generation is, and it's just sad. It's a sad deal. That was a good segment. It was great to talk about Drake and Kendrick and the influence they have. And I just want to say thanks for everyone. This was the Vibe Check podcast. Tune in next week.
Big sky, small world, I can only have one tenor. It's a good two. Thank you for tuning in to Big Sky Small World. Theme music is by Alex Coulter. Please follow and leave comments on Instagram at bigsky.smallworld. Tune in next week.
I'm being quiet.
I'm like John Cena.
This is awesome.
Dude, I can't read this seriously.
This is so good.